Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to the next episode of Magnetic Heart. My name is Camilla Nunn, and on this week's podcast, I have a very lovely friend, Raj, who a little bit about him. He is an IT leader by day, and by night, he is a sound and tantra practitioner. And on this week's podcast, we're going to dive into the topic of grief, because it's something Raj has experienced quite a lot over the last couple of years. And we had a talk before the podcast, and we were talking about this emotion and how little actually people are supported through their journey of grief. And so Raj really wanted to talk about his experience and also what has helped him move through this process, and maybe give some really valuable insights and advice for the viewers if you are or if you have experienced grief in whatever way that is. So a very, very warm welcome, Raj. Thank you so much for being here. Did you want to just introduce yourself a little bit more, and maybe start to talk a little bit about your experience with grief over the last couple of years?
Yeah, good morning, Camilla. Thanks for it's really good to reconnect. I know we've been talking about doing a podcast for a while, and given it's actually the last 4 months, 4 or 5 months that I've had compounded grief. So I think today, now is the perfect time, really. Gosh, where do I begin? I guess in the spirit of being vulnerable, I'll just go from the beginning, really. I mean, the beginning starts before I was even born, with my family having a lot of intergenerational trauma, coming here, suffering racial abuse, etc., stress of the system. I had a lot of personal abuse, received a personal abuse, racial abuse, all the various abuses. We just had to cope. There was no emotional support in my family. They were doing three jobs. We had to get on with it. I think that's the common at that time for everyone. And then, I really wanted to escape, and my escape was music. Listen to music. There's like some, looking back at it, there's some really valuable songs which draws me, like things like Boys Don't Cry. I mean, what a beautiful song to listen to as a boy, not crying. Society tells you boys don't cry, and and things like, when I went to university, I was a social butterfly. People loved me. I loved it. But inside, I didn't know how to express myself. There was support for counselling and things like that. But it wasn't for me, because I was a boy and I would go out and I was having a good time. There's nothing wrong with me. Of course, there was nothing wrong with me, except there was. And these are all coping mechanisms, of course, so I can look back at it. And it was only when I was like in my mid-20s when I thought, no, something's seriously wrong. I'm not able to have a relationship or anything. And then I did seek counselling, and that was the start of decades of a lifelong journey, which I've gone from, survivor, no, victim. I was a victim. I did all the behaviors of a victim, became a survivor, and I think I'm thriving now. I generally do think I'm thriving, and it's been a lifelong, and it will continue to be a lifelong journey. I still have problems, of course. I still have relationship problems, but who doesn't? But I have a lot of positive things in my life, which I'm now, because I'm doing a lot more positive ways of thinking, the meditation, the sound, and the spiritual aspects really come into my life. Often I'll go to the things and, might be the only brown boy there, but I don't care. It's my space as much as anyone else's.
I love how you were talking about how when you were young, it just wasn't the thing to open up about emotions. Vulnerability, for men especially, but also probably for women, just wasn't the thing. You had to sort of just get on with it. And I love how, even to have the vulnerability to come onto this podcast and talk about your experience, it's really such a beautiful thing to come and to inspire other men as well to be able to go tap into that part of themselves. Because I don't believe that men are don't experience emotions, and in some way men have just been very, very programmed to believe that they have to hide and mask and numb. And so I think what the work that you're doing is incredible. And how does it affect you as a father as well? And how do you help your children as well to be more vulnerable with their emotions?
I mean, even the, I mean, I guess it is easier now for modern parents to show emotions to the children, and children do get a lot more support. And I did tell my children I go to a feelings doctor, for example, so that when they need to talk. Like they do express themselves through me. I got a boy and girl. Actually, in a way, it's quite good. My boy is actually a lot more emotional than my girl. That's part of their makeup. They've got different personalities. But so I'm kind of, I must be doing something right. But I'm like any other parent. I'm struggling. And then you got all this kind of like how to be a perfect parent podcast and. I had to be the perfect dad, and it's like actually it's not helpful because we need support as much as anyone else. So there's an expectation. See, what's actually missing is we don't. It really does take a village to raise a child, and loss of community over the last 30 or 40 years hasn't helped anyone. Put a lot more pressure on women. Absolutely, they do carry a lot of emotional load. And it's put a lot of pressure on father as well, because it a man and a woman is not enough to raise a child. It does need a community, so it's both people under pressure, and there's a kind of like societal pressure, like looking to the man to be the like there's still a lot of society problems, should I say, where. By default, man does become the breadwinner, and yet they got to provide be strong to do that. And it's hard to be vulnerable when you've got to do that masculine role. Of course, women do that as well. I don't get me wrong, and especially single mothers do both roles as well.
But you make a good point, Raj, because I think women do, there's a lot, out there with women feeling frustrated and women wanting this from men and women wanting that from men and expecting more. But we never really get to hear how men are feeling and the journey that men are going through and how difficult that is to have so much pressure to be the breadwinner, to be the provider, to be strong, and then on top of that, be emotionally available and connected. It's a lot of pressure on a man's shoulders, and I think, when grief is involved as well, not just maybe a loss of a loved one, but so, there's so many different kinds of grief. I know the pandemic was some, a time where I think a lot of us collectively were experiencing grief because things changed for the majority of people. Things changed very quickly. Life changed, and so there needs to be space. There needs to be so much space to be able to digest grief. And because of the way that we're all living now, because of the pressure and the expectations put on men and women, we're not getting that time
No.
to process. And we're not understanding each other either. That, sometimes a behavior where someone might come across as quite avoidant or they need more time alone, that's their way of maybe digesting a difficult emotion. So how was, I mean, what's been your journey with grief? How did it start? What were the main emotions coming up for you? Did it follow a pattern?
So the last, say since last nearly, I'm going to say last 4 months, 4 or 5 months, I suffered loss of my father. He'd been ill for a while, so it wasn't that much of a surprise. Then I had a loss of, I got made redundant from a job which gave me a lot of space, but that was a loss. There's that kind of, I was a breadwinner, things like that. Had a lot of stress. And then I wasn't actually, I was in a relationship last year with someone who was, I supported at the beginning of the year with a sudden loss of an aunt. I don't know, so the connection's unstable again. I'll just repeat the last thing. I
Yeah, please
had
repeat
a,
the line.
yeah, so I had another loss at the beginning of the year where my aunt died suddenly. No, it was a shock to everyone. She wasn't even ill, so it's like, oh, another one. So what really, I wouldn't say there was a, even with one grief, it comes in, it's not linear. It's cyclic, but even then there's no pattern as such. It can just be waves, it can be ups and downs, it can be disassociation. But having multiple griefs, I was getting like different emotions, but like one emotion be for my where I'm at when processing my father. I have another emotion where I'm processing my daily reminder of like job hunting, but of that reminds me I lost my job that I liked, and then trying to get back onto the getting back to the dating world as it were, which. And then he's like, oh God, I have another loss of like relationship. You get a constant like, what are you looking for in a relationship? And then my aunt, is you're I'm in different stages. And I can't always pinpoint for which grief, but it's just a, it's like a different waves, like
Did you
but a
feel
different
like you received the love and the care that you really needed when you were moving through all of these different emotions from your family or from your health providers? Like how did you nurture yourself, and how do you still nurture yourself through these waves of grief and all the emotion, other emotions that come with it?
Yeah, I mean, just now, I mean, talking about it, I'm actually lying down now, because it's the waves just really hitting on my chest. So I'm actually lying down, which is one way of when I realize something's happening, I just gotta sit with it, literally sit with it. I will say that I'm being kind of, in a way, fortunate because a lot of the stuff I've been doing in my journey has been having different ways of filling my cup. So I'm not reliant on one way. I'm not reliant on, so I like for my father, yeah, the family was there, of course. There's a spiritual support from the family and all that kind of stuff. But there's also a lot of pressure in that we had to do it in a certain way within a certain time frame, which added a lot of stress to it. The job, oh yeah, that was like, well, it's a commercial company. They it's limited support, and we're actually fortunate. I had a really good set of, I got a really good set of friends who were there for me when I had lost the relationship. And then, like with the loss of my aunt, if anything, I had to be there for my cousins and my uncle.
I just what came through my mind just now is when you were talking about how it takes a village to nurture and bring up a child, and I feel that it's the same when we're going through grief. Both me and you, me and you, we live in London, and London is it can feel like quite a lonely place. And there's a very individualistic sort of mentality here, and we're not living like how, maybe people up in the mountains in Mexico are living, and there's that when I was living in Mexico, what I really loved was that everyone did take care of you. Everyone was looking out for you. When something happened, you would have 100 people come to your door and be offering you a lift, offering you food, and when I came back to London, and I'm sure for many people living in big cities, people are just very busy and people don't have the time, and I think we're all deeply craving for that nourishment, of connection with others. And when it comes to processing grief, we really do need not just our counselor, not just we don't need that sterile, even though it's important, we're not looking for that sterile sort of support. We're looking for that real nourishing, soul deep, wholesome support. And I do think it's a shame that many, many people feel like they're not receiving it.
No, and I think with the even with my family and all that, like they're of course they continue to provide support for my mum, but for me and my brother, like we're pressured to also to provide support as well. So it switches from having support for us to now we have to support our families and all that kind of stuff. And that comes down to like the role of the masculine energy, the masculine role in society. Like it switches so quickly. And then you do feel like, well, where's my support? Because we don't have that nourishment. And I did, people say, oh, join a men's circle. And you know what? I had to look at some men's circles, and I'm not, some are, no doubt some are useful, but there's a lot of, I mean, this is more internet. I think it's like there's a lot of toxicity. This is not what I would consider like a supportive environment when they're quite frankly being negative and
What would you say are like the toxic things that are coming up when you look at some of these men's circle groups?
this like what it's more about like quite frankly it's like just sexist attitudes, being victims of like Yeah, that we are victims, of course, but not like in like blaming and being misogynistic. That's not the solution. And that's, you got it's just, I mean, quite frankly, it won the US elections, to be quite frank. But no, that's not the kind of man's support.
What would you like to see in a man's circle?
Be honest, I'm not looking for a man, so I want a mixed. I think it's important to have both, because it's a community, it's a community is both, right? I mean, I understand, like, the reason for female circles, and that happens in the past as well, but I need perspective from both. I need support from both. I can get as much compassion from a man and a woman. That's what I need, is compassionate support, not like, oh, it's, but you're this and that, or
I don't think there's enough of it these days, of real compassion and selflessness, because I think a lot of people are quick to blame. You made me feel like this, and you're not what I want you to be. But that's not what love is. And love
No.
is lo real love and compassion is understanding that, if someone's moving through a difficult part of their lives, that sometimes the most beautiful healing thing to receive is to someone to say, you know what, I don't know what you're going through at the moment, but I'm here for you, and I'm here to offer you that nourishment and that support. It can feel so beautiful to for that pressure, having to perform or having to be strong, because I know a lot of men, it's like this pressure that they have to be strong and they've got to be warriors. But men haven't gone through that. I think they haven't been allowed to just let go and really receive.
But I think it's the kind of one thing I've been doing when I'm talking about filling my cup, is doing a lot more community kind of like activities, whether it's conscious dancing or things like that. That's where we met, wasn't it? You organized that thing in the park, and that was very, very community focused. It was in nature.
Yeah, just for the viewers, I organized a dance workshop in the park, and it was actually, well, in Highgate Woods. And I think so many of us realize how important it is to gather together, men and women, in community, have that community feeling, but also in nature, it gives it a whole new level, because we're made to be in nature. Nature is a part of us, and there can be something very beautiful about coming together, all different age groups as well. That's how it was meant to be.
Yes, that's how it has been in the past. And I think, quite, that was one of my highlights of last year.
Oh, yeah. That was a
And
really
that,
beautiful summer.
it was, and I think, was it in August or July?
I think August, yeah, the start of August it was.
That's right. Actually, that really filled my cup, because I remember my father died at the end of August. So it really did help. Because my cup was fairly full, from doing those activities, that I could, be there to provide the support from
And
family.
I remember that, the dance that we were doing was quite dynamic. It was quite a lot of energy that we all needed to be able to keep up with the dance. And I think that also, I imagine that must have also been quite beneficial, because I think you need to sort of, when you're going through grief, you almost feel like you lose your energy, you lose that vitality. But through doing that sort of movement, that really gets everything moving again, all the energy that maybe was bottled up and it felt all kind of stuck, that movement, in any way that, it could be dance, it could be capoeira, it could be qigong, just something where you're starting to move the energy again.
Exactly. And this is why I think my by me filling my cup constantly, I guess it gives me the kind of like capacity to be resilient. Wendy's like my thing shocks and are shocks that every one of those is a shock. When these shocks arise, it gives me that kind of like resilience and also that kind of like communities of people I can talk to. I made sure I went back to some of these things as soon as I could, practically could, just to get that support. And then, I was able to make even people available on the phone. I remember Christmas, just after Christmas, I literally just told a few people, and they all said, "Oh, feel free to call me. Feel free to call me." And I did speak to one of them, a very dear friend, and it was just I wouldn't have had that had I not had that community connection that I built up. And it's not just guys going to these dances and dancing and going home. No, it's relationship building as well. It's that these are like my this is my these are my tribes. I've got multiple tribes now.
It seems to be these words, community, tribe, nourishment, like coming back to the heart, the soul. Like these are all things that are coming up a lot in conversation that the people really desperately wanting to reconnect again.
And I think that's been my that's if there's a tip is build up your ways of filling your cup. Follow your hobbies, they're your tribes. And they're the people that understand you, understand when it comes down to it, they'll be there when you go back to do it, getting on with your life. Because you need that after these graves. You need to get back to life.
Okay. And talking about getting back to life, I know that I just want to briefly touch on your work with yoga and tantra, because I know we talked a lot about that and how beneficial it can be to have these practices and rituals, even how they can help us move forward, help us gain more strength, and sort of understand death as not just the end. It's sort of like more of a transition. And is there anything that you'd like to touch on with that, your experience with tantra and yoga?
So sound healing and tantric, but yoga's tied to tantric. I'll say like because I had the communities built up already, the networks, I was able to surrender myself to receive the sound. I went to a lot more sound healing, sound baths than I
And you do
would have.
mantra meditation as
And
well.
I did a tantric meditation. They were so beneficial because it was already there, and I had that community, and I know this stuff works. I would just surrender myself and just received it because it was my
Surrender.
medicine. It was my medicine.
Surrender. Yeah, surrender is a beautiful word to just surrender to whatever's moving through you and yeah, receive from the people, receive from the practice, from the sound.
I think the sound stuff was really because that's an easy one to surrender to. You literally got to lie back and and just allow it in. And that for me has been really effective. I've been doing I got I do a lot more. We've got a kind of being practitioner. We have some community exchanges, and so I've been doing a lot of those, which have been really good. So I can receive some Reiki or from someone and something else from another person, and they say like when I'm ready to give my part, I just let them know, and then I thought I'm ready now because giving I mean you're a practitioner as well, giving is so empowering.
Yes, but
Really, I think
receiving.
receive first, and
It's
then
funny that
satisfy.
you talk about this because my main part of my work, the main work that I do is massage and healing. And I work with a lot of women who have been through quite severe trauma. And so I'm used to giving and giving, and I love to give, but it's been my practice over this year, 2025, to start to learn to receive more. Because when we're giving so much, we have to balance it out with receiving, and then we give more, and then we can give better. And we can fill our cup up. We can give with a full cup. So it's such a nice balance between learning to give and learning to receive. And
Can I dare say, Camilla, dare to be vulnerable?
Yeah, dare to be vulnerable. And this is something I really want to make. I really want more men to be able to listen to these sorts of podcasts and be able to open up to being more vulnerable, be open up to receiving. Because I think for so many, thousands and thousands of years, men have been taught that that's something weak to be vulnerable, and it's weak to ask for help, and it's weak to cry. And I just really want this sort of this story that I guess people have been programmed to believe is what a man should be and what a woman should be. I want that to start moving forward in a way that's going to be really supportive for humanity, because we can't keep going on the way that we
No,
have.
we can't. We're sort of, we already, geopolitically self-destructing.
And I feel really grateful actually for men like you who have come and that can talk and open up about their experience, and lead the way forward for other men to be able to dare to open up and be vulnerable.
It brings us back to my that song I referred to at the beginning, Boys Don't Cry by The Cure. I recommend you playing, if you could play that in the podcast, that'd be awesome.
If I can find it, I
I'll
will.
send it to you.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you there. So.
Yeah.
Oh, you should listen to it actually. So, and then look at when it was written. It was written in the 70s. It's like well ahead of its time. Well, I
Yeah.
think he was 17 when he wrote it.
All of the viewers, we need to listen to that after the podcast and have a little cry. So that's so wonderful. Thank you for all of your wisdom, Rod. I'm really grateful that you've come on today and that you've been able to open up about your experience with grief. Is there anything that you want to talk about before we finish up? Any last little bits of advice
Yeah,
or?
don't rely on state support. It's shockingly, there's lack of funding, which is why I realize I'm so grateful that of all the stuff I've been doing. So I would just suggest start filling your cups with your hobbies that you're ready made, like approach, and then it will be there when you need it. Because you need to pursue your hobbies. It's the thing that makes you, we have to make our own me time. Society doesn't give it to us.
Society doesn't give it to us, does it? And I think moving forward, we need to be very strong and start to be honest about what are the things that really light us up beyond what society has told us to strive for. When grief hits you, none of that stuff matters anymore. We realize, what really matters is the people and the love actually in our lives. The connections that we have is more than any amount of money or fancy car or fancy house. Like we need those people. We need that feeling of community, and we need to nourish ourselves and fill us up
Mm-hmm.
with all those things that, like you
Exactly.
said, our hobbies, our
Yeah.
gifts.
Really. Yeah,
Cool.
that's just really heartwarming
Yeah.
to hear it reflected back to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So well done. Well done, Rod. I just want to tell you.
Thank you,
I'm
thank
very
you. Yeah.
proud of you. And
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, I'm really glad this. And again, this is an example of like we only met because I met you because you organising that thing, and I thought, oh, I'm going to do that. And then we were chatting afterwards, and we maintained that
yeah.
connection, didn't we? Yeah.
It's beautiful, you know,
Yeah.
how,
Yeah.
you know, when we open up to the unknown, how things just flow in a way that is very beautiful.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for that. Yeah.
So, I'd like to thank all the viewers as well for watching or for listening, like, and thank you, Raj, again. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all on the next podcast. Sending lots of love and light.
Yeah, I echo that. Yeah, thank you for listening, viewers. Hope you can take 1% of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.